just comprehending what we're asking, but also in their minds getting used to doing those things. You know, these players sometimes that come from other teams or have played differently are programmed to do those things. They've been doing it for at least a year.
It's just pretty hard when you came in the first day of the camp and we start some tactical stuff. And for sure, we didn't expect that that final. We're 0-6 right now, but we did some great stuff. We worked on the detail that Claude was asking us. So since the start of the camp, we work on the pretty much in the system.
Charles Ludon, il y a eu une période de 3 ans en Ligue américaine, puis moi, je l'ai vu évoluer pendant les 3 dernières années. Puis une chose que j'en ai même parlé à Charlie, c'est que je regarde un gars comme Plekanec, qui a joué 3 années complètes dans la Ligue américaine, puis éventuellement, il est devenu un joueur national, puis il a une belle carrière. Alors, j'ai dit, c'est pas quand tu vas te rendre, mais comment tu vas te rendre. Puis ça a pris 3 ans, mais aujourd'hui, tu vois, il est rendu une place dans sa carrière où il est prêt à faire le saut national.
Il est rendu.
Jusqu'à maintenant, je te dirais oui.
I don't want people to think that we don't care about, you know, being 0-6. We do care. We don't like that. We're certainly not proud of it. And, you know, like I said, to a certain extent, we take those responsibilities of not having won a game. But at the same time, we're also looking at what do we have to do here to make it the best preparation for our team.
Welcome back. It is hour number 3. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Game night, Habs and Panthers at the Bell Center. This is a good Panthers squad coming in here tonight. We'll take you right there. Face-off time 2 hours from now with Dan Robertson and Sergio Mameso, along with Rob Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until then. Claude Julien, Charles Hudon today. Marc Bergevin on L'Antichambre last night on RDS.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Old Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm very well, Mitch. And by the way, the soundbite from Marc Bergevin, I hope they heed his advice in what he did with Charles Hudon. 3 years of development made a difference. Now he's an NHL player. I hope they remember that when they choose this team.
That's not to say you need 3 full years, but
no,
but American Hockey League, the best way to develop players is in the American Hockey League.
Not just players, coaches too. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal development league. During the 1994-95 lockout, I worked down there in PEI with the Ottawa Senators farm team, and I can tell you, the players that were developed in that league at that time, I remember a player that Fredericton had, a guy by the name of Donald Brashear, who most people thought would never play. He ended up playing a good long time, and a big part of that was his developmental time in Fredericton, in Freddie Beach. So Jacques Demers, our great friend, was a coach in the American Hockey League down in Fredericton. And Mark Crawford, I can go on and on. Claude Julien, your coach in Montreal. So it's not just a developmental league for players. It's a developmental league for coaches, too.
What is the difference, and I mention this because when we were discussing Victor Mete, as we have been, it seems, for the entire week, he's going to be paired with Jordy Benn tonight, Alzner Petrie, and Jarabek and Brandon Davidson. Those are the 3 pairings you're going to see tonight. Claude Julien said today, tomorrow night against Ottawa, you're going to see a team very close to whatever the opening night roster is going to be. What is the difference with a guy like Charlie McAvoy? Same, Gallo was going through the similar players to Mete in terms of birth dates, right?
Same. How about size?
Over 6 feet?
Yeah, how about that, number one? Number two, 2 years of play at Boston University where he's playing against much older players and major junior players. And how about dominating a world junior? I didn't even know Victor played in one. That's not a comparable at all. That's not even close to a comparable. One guy was a 4th-round pick. The other guy was a 1st-round pick. That's not a comparable.
Well, they are the same age. I'm talking about comparable
well,
in age.
On age. I mean, Sidney Crosby was 18 years old. He was still great. I mean, I can't compare other 18-year-olds to him, just like I can't compare other 18-year-olds to Connor McDavid. Don't use age. You know, if you're going to do a comparable on a player, do a comparable on where they've played, where they've been drafted, and what they've dominated at.
Who are the? Do you remember the conversation we had?
Who
are some of the other
that are his
names
age?
That you threw out about?
Sergachev is his age.
Yeah, much bigger. Right, much bigger.
He's already done. Hold it. He's played in the World Junior. He's dominated and took a team to a Memorial Cup playoff. I mean, again, you gotta line it up properly. Who are you going to compare him to? Tell me another fourth round pick that's playing in the league as a 19-year-old on defense.
Yeah, but the point of the conversation was just anybody that was obsessing about the age. Age isn't the factor, is what I was trying to say. I was like, look at these guys, they're 19, or these players break in. Age doesn't mean anything. Age is just a number right now.
Right on. Well, we agree on that. You got to look at the body of work, and that's why it's so important. Information is king in the league. You can't guess. You got to know. And you got to know where players come from. You got to know who they've been coached by. You got to know who they've played against. You got to know who they've dominated against. You got to know who they've struggled against. You got to know all that stuff when you're evaluating players. That's a really critical component. The information age is so critical. You have, and I've said this so many times, if you're running a hockey team, your front office has to be a superhighway of hockey information that is second to none. You need to know everything about every player, and that's why if you don't have strong scouting infrastructure and management that doesn't pay attention to that stuff, you are doomed to fail. You are absolutely doomed to fail.
All right, so I want to get back to some of what Marc Bergevin had to say on Lantysham last night, Pierre, but I just want to go to something else that I've hesitated to mention because it's been floating out there for a couple of weeks, and it seems to be picking up steam because his agent is talking, which means he's worried that he might not get a contract, that the Canadians apparently expressed some interest in Chris Neal. When I first heard this, it was like, what? And then I start reading some of the backstories, and it sounds to me like they may have offered him a pro tryout to camp, and he was holding out for a contract. And now here we are, and now the word is out there officially by his agent that it's true that they expressed some interest in Chris Neal, but clearly they weren't willing to offer him a contract, nor should they have been, in my opinion. Could you see Chris Neal helping this team or any team in the NHL right now at the age of 38?
It pains me to say, but probably not. He has fought so many heroic battles. Again, look at where he came from as a depth player in the draft, who eventually made his way into being a very solid NHL player, worked his way into being a solid NHL player, was revered by his teammates. One of the greatest joys, I've said this on Ottawa radio shows so many times, one of the greatest joys I ever had going to the rinks all these years is watching the chemistry that Chris Neal had with Mike Fisher and how intense those guys would be at the morning skate and how great they were with the trainers, the coaches, their teammates. Phenomenal, phenomenal people. I just think there's too many miles on the odometer for Chris. I'm not surprised that the Canadians would take him in on a PTO, a professional tryout agreement. That being said, I wouldn't have offered him a contract either. It pains me to say that. My goodness gracious, this is a man that's been unbelievably tough his entire career, and I don't think you'll find one of his teammates. You may, but I don't think you would find one teammate that would say anything bad about him. He's a phenomenal person. He was a great teammate. I just can't see how there's much left on the tread. I just can't.
Yeah, and again, without knowing, without having any kind of inside info, my guess would be this is a story that developed over the summer, and it's coming to light now because he's still without a contract. And there are people who are under the impression that Canes have reached out to Chris Neal like in the last couple of days. And I don't know that to be a fact, but I'd be shocked if that was the story, if that was the case.
At this point, I would be surprised as well. But I could have seen it earlier this summer where they said, hey, you know what, why don't you come on a PTO?
Yeah.
And we'll give you an opportunity. I could definitely see that. And I would have done the same thing if I would have been Montreal. But if I would have been Chris Neal, knowing what I've built in Ottawa and the respect I have of the Ottawa Senators management team, ownership, and also their fan base, I'm not sure I'd want to alienate that long term because I think he's a fixture in that community. And, you know, going on a PTO to one of your biggest rivals isn't always the best idea.
All right. Back to Marc Bergevin last night on Lantysham on RDS.
Alex Imlin, on a fait très bon boulot ici. Ouais. Moi, je vois en remplaçant avec Carl Osner qu'on s'est amélioré. C'est un joueur qui est plus, je pense, là, il est plus constant dans ses décisions de jeu. Puis, il bouge bien la rondelle. C'est certain qu'il, comme Amy, il n'aurait pas des gros points sur le pointage, mais défensivement, il va être très fiable. Ouais. Alors, de ce côté-là, je crois qu'on s'améliore. Nathan, écoute, un joueur qu'on a repêché, mais moi, je blâme pas personne. Il y a des joueurs qui arrivent à une situation, puis c'est un bon patineur, mais ici à Montréal, il y avait des hauts, des bas, des hauts, des bas. Mmh. Puis après 5 ans, tu veux un joueur qui est plus stable. Puis c'est pas avec Nathan. Alors, en amenant un gars comme Schlemko qu'on n'a pas vu encore, je suis pas certain aussi qu'on va de l'arrière.
So in terms of his blue line this year and the plan, we'll get to the Beaulieu stuff in a second, Pierre, because you're sawing back there. So obviously,
Let me.
The Alsner and Schlemko additions. Alsner, yes or no? Better than Yemelin?
Yes, and I never thought he would sign in Montreal. So I give them full credit for that. And I had that totally wrong. And I told you that a million times, and I still stand by that. Carl Alsner is better, absolutely better. Schlemko's different. Schlemko's different. I've told you for years, Schlemko's a way under the radar player.
So
player.
You understand why he would say that on the ice right now, they believe that he would be better than Beaulieu?
No, I wouldn't.
Go ahead.
That's why I saw it. Because Nathan Beaulieu, if you've watched him this preseason with Buffalo, which I have, they can't say enough good things about him there. He's played tremendously well.
Well, they're not going to crap on him. Come on.
Oh, hey, listen, the conversations I have, people will crap on him behind closed doors. For sure they would.
He just got there and he just signed a contract.
Mitch,
they're not going to, Pierre.
They're not going to do it publicly.
No, I know, but just...
Well, I'm just telling you in the conversations I've had with them.
I understand that, but I also know when there's a honeymoon when a player goes to a new place and signs a new contract.
Have you watched him play this preseason?
No, I haven't watched anybody play this season.
I have seen him play.
Okay, I watch when the games... Well. I start watching when the games mean something.
I understand, which you're right to do, but I have to... So I can do your show and be up to date.
Of course, that's why you've lasted this long.
It's oh, you're too much. But here's Nathan's looked great. But Schlemko's not young, you know. Just so you know.
Yeah, but he's not old. He's not old.
Well, he's older.
30, right? But I'm talking about this year on the ice. If David Schlemko plays the kind of hockey that you have said he's capable of playing, would he be a more consistent player on the ice than Nathan Beaulieu?
He might with this coaching staff, because I don't know if Nathan was going to get a break with this group. So I would say they probably upgraded. It's almost addition through subtraction for the team and also for Nathan. I think Nathan had to move on. It was tough to see that night at Madison Square Garden when he was pulled out. You know, he didn't play the game, the last game in the playoffs, and neither did Torrey. I think we talked about that yesterday.
Right.
That was really tough to see. I knew right away he was toast. When that happened, I knew he was toast.
I just still don't like. I don't like the Beaulieu trade at all. Still,
neither do I, son. We're on the same page.
Because they drafted a guy 17th overall, and then 6 years later, they got a third round pick for him.
That's what we're talking about, and that's why I sighed. It doesn't. And you trade him to a division opponent.
Well, the third round pick. I would imagine a third round pick from Buffalo is the best deal that they could get.
But why not keep him?
Well, you just heard.
I didn't know you were so overly deep on defense. I think the biggest miscalculation was they thought they had Markov coming back, and then it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And that's why you got a problem. That's why you have a problem in terms of depth on defense. They know that. Why do you think they're out there doing this right now?
Who is Nathan Beaulieu playing with in Buffalo?
I play with a bunch of different people, so we'll see. I don't know who eventually he'll play with, but I would tell you this. I think Phil Housley, if there's anybody that can get something out of him, it's going to be Phil Housley. Look at the growth of the Nashville defensemen, starting with Roman Josi and going forward from there. Just look at the growth of their defense with Phil Housley there. I think all those defenders, including Zach Bogosian, by the way, who I think is going to have a big year for them if he can stay healthy. He looks fantastic as well in preseason, to stress, in preseason. I just think that you're going to be surprised. I think Phil's going to make a huge difference with some of those players, including Beaulieu.
On the drafting issue.
C'est tellement bon pour une organisation. C'est l'essentiel du succès, c'est le repêchage. Mmh. Alors, c'est certain, il faut qu'on s'améliore, puis nos gars travaillent très fort, puis j'ai confiance.
All right, so...
Everybody's gars travaillent très fort. That's just the reality of the business. It's the loneliest job in the world, and that's why it crushes me that there's no scouts in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Those guys are the most important pieces of your organizational bloodline, and they're the ones that find you players. Anybody can pick the top 40 players. That's not hard to do. it's picking the players after 40 or 50.
Actually,
well, that's the art. That's
they have been good at that. Their problem is missing early. They have missed early.
How's the third overall pick doing?
Well, tonight he will be playing alongside Peter Holland and Nikita Scherbak.
What does that tell you?
He
hasn't been doing very well in their eyes.
I don't think anybody, again, I haven't watched the games, but, three forwards have put the puck in the net. How many on 5-on-5? Nobody is produced. Phil Deneau has not had a good camp. Paul Byron, I don't think, has had a good camp. Who has had a good camp up front?
Gallo, can you let him know that we kind of talked about this earlier in the preseason? Can you tell him this? We kind of talked about
Galchenyuk's been dropped to the third line with Holland and Scherbak. Maybe because they know how important he is offensively, they're trying to spark something. And Peter Holland has actually had a better camp offensively than Phil Deneau.
Just remember what Deneau's strength is. Deneau's strength isn't going to be offense. Mark knew that when he got him. In a perfect world, Philip Deneau's playing in the three hole, and he's doing great things for you in the three hole.
Well, tonight
he's Marcus Kruger. He's those third line centers. He's not as good as Nick Bonino, but he's that type of a player. Those guys can help you win a lot.
And I still think
Philip can help you do that. Philip's a good player. That was a good acquisition by that team. Very good acquisition.
I agree completely, and I think that's where people are missing the point tonight. I think the point tonight is that they've got Deneau between Shaw and Byron. That's where he should be. With players like that, he should not be with a talent like Galchenyuk. That's the point.
But during the regular season, who are they going to put with him? They don't have anybody other than Deneau. He's their best offensive center outside of Drouin.
Who's
better? Plekanec isn't better offensively. Mitchell isn't better offensively. De La Rose isn't better offensively. McCarron's not better offensively. He's the best one.
They don't fit, and that's why the regular season is one long dress rehearsal, and then you get to the playoffs, and it's a whole different story. So, am I wringing my hands over the fact that they don't have a centerman to play with Galchenyuk right now? It appears. No, I don't know. I think this has been 20 years like this, but. At playoff time, it's another matter. Is it gonna be the difference between getting into the playoffs or not getting in the playoffs? I don't think so. That's my point.
So the Florida Panthers are there tonight. Let's just talk about this sensibly now, just quickly. Barkov is playing at center. Is he playing tonight, Mitch Gallo?
I'm going to check.
They got a really good team in here tonight.
Is Vincent Trocheck playing tonight at center?
I think they're all playing, Pierre.
Is Nick Bjugstad playing at center tonight? Is Derek McKenzie playing at center tonight? Those are their four centers. Buckle up.
Is this preseason?
Hey, Rod, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
He's afraid of this conversation. Yeah.
Well, I was just enjoying it. What can I say? Is what we've seen during the preseason, is that going to increase the urgency, the determination come the regular season? Or will all this be put into the shredder?
Well, if you get off to a good start in Buffalo in your first game, then all this goes in the shredder. It does. It goes away. But you got to get off to a good start. And if you don't, people are going to point. I can guarantee you all these people, Mitch Melnyk, remember I said this on the show, Rod, keep it on the tape. If the team gets off to a bad start, all the people that are saying it's only preseason and it doesn't matter and don't pay attention to the results, all those people will crucify this team if they get off to a bad start, and they'll say it all started in training camp.
But I think a lot of those people
will be unbelievable.
I think a lot of those people have already made up their mind that this is not a good team, that it's worse than last year, and so what we're seeing in the preseason is reinforcing how they already feel about the team. They're not willing to wait for the real stuff to begin.
Well, that's a mistake because they have a goalie that can really make saves. And move the puck and win games for them. I think they've got a coaching staff, in particular a head coach, who I think is tremendous. And I think that's a positive. They've got a manager who's not afraid to make deals, and I think this is far from being a finished product. So they may have to make some deals in order to get it to go. So those are positive things for the Canes going into the season. I do agree that Jonathan Drouin could have a breakout offensive year, but he's got to prove it. Just because I believe he can do it, or other people believing it, doesn't mean he can do it. He's got to prove it. If you were to ask me, is Stamkos going to have a huge year? I'd say yes. If you were to ask me, is Sagan going to have a big year? I'd say yes. If you were going to ask me about Drouin, I'd say, I hope so, but I don't know. You know the difference, Mitch? That's the difference. I don't know. I think so, but I don't know.
Okay, I don't know in terms of points what a big year is, but he can come, I think.
70 points.
Yes, if he's healthy, if he plays 75, 80 games, he's gonna have a big year.
Then he's going to get 70 points or more, and that would be a huge year for him. So we're on the same page.
All right. So is this guys, what, you know, again, you're watching this team almost every shift in the preseason. I'm not. The fact that Nikita Sherbak was recalled today, was that specifically to play with Galchenyuk and try to get him going, or is it an indication that they're telling him, okay, we sent you to Laval, you had a terrible camp, you got another shot here to make us feel differently about where you are at this stage of your development? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I defer to Gallo, but to me it looks like they made up their mind and this is just like shuffling paper here. Like, I think their mind's made up when it comes to Sherbak for 2017-2018.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think they looked at the two games, the back-to-back, and they wanted to rest certain guys tonight, so they realized that, oops, we sent one body too many down to the American League, so we're going to call them up for this one game, and then Saturday we're going to ice a close lineup to our regular lineup.
I agree with both gentlemen right there, Mitch Melnyk, and I'll tell you another thing. I think it's a shot across the bow of Michael McCarron.
That's true. McCarron is lined up back on the right side tonight with Brian Fraze and Andreas Martinsson.
Yeah, I think it's a shot across the bow of him saying, you know what, big boy, you better get going. Because if not, you're going to get beat out internally, and you don't want that to happen.
In their minds, they prepare, and you know they'll do something, and then when the play happens, they'll tell themselves right after, oh, shoot, I should have been there instead, you know? So this is what we're trying to do here. We want that to become second nature.
All right. So by tomorrow night against Ottawa, Pierre, one would assume that as they've had all this time to digest what he's trying to teach them in terms of what was different than a year ago or even in the playoffs, that it's by this deep into training camp, it should be there?
I would hope so. I would hope so. I think if there would be a few more wins for this team through the first six, then I don't even think people would be having this discussion. Obviously, it's not just there's been no wins. It's that the offense has been so stifled. I mean, you can't play six games and have nine goals and expect to be successful in the NHL. It's not going to transfer. It will never, ever work. It's not going to transfer to wins. So that's the biggest issue.